Okay. My name is Sherry Bowers. I'm the local history coordinator here for the Milam Berlin Township Public Library. And I'm sitting here with Dan Lake, and we're talking about the photograph that was taken of him standing next to his airplane 20 years ago. This photograph was taken by Larry Lambert. And I would like to talk a little bit about the photograph itself, and Dan can fill us in on some flying. He grew up around here, and give us a little perspective on that. So Dan, first of all, if you would, just for a little background, you said you were raised around here. Can you give me a little bit background?
Yes, I grew up all my life on River Road. My grandparents owned a farm there, and my parents built next to them, and then he built another home next to that home. So I lived there till I was 21. And my next move was where I live on Lace Road, which is where the picture was taken, and lived in the area my whole life.
So tell me about the plane that's in there. What kind of plane is it that you were photographed next to?
Well, it's a Piper J3 Cub, a plane that was a trainer in the 30s, and still today it's a great trainer. It's a slow flying airplane, and it's a tail dragger, which has its difficulty in landing, taking off, and handles a little differently in wind. So it makes it a great trainer because it's a little tough to fly, and it makes you a good pilot.
So what got you interested in airplanes? When did you get your first airplane?
I started flying when my dad started in the late 50s. I was pretty young, so I go over to the airport while he took a lesson and sit and watch him. Most of my time before I got my license was just flying with him and him teaching me how to fly. I didn't get my pilot's license till I was about 19, and I started flying a Cherokee, and then I flew a Seneca, which is a twin engine, and I fell in love with a Cub, a J3 Cub down in Florida. A friend of my father's had one, and I was on a mission to get a J3, so when I come back from Florida, I started looking, and I found this airplane in Tiffin, and I paid $5,000 for it, and we've rebuilt it twice since then.
Do you, tell me a little bit about what's involved in getting your pilot's license, because I know you probably have to fly so many hours, correct, and be with a licensed pilot.
Yeah, you start with what they call a student license, and it requires a physical, and all your time has to be with an instructor until you solo. And to solo, it's really up to the instructor. Some people can solo in 5 hours, and some people a full 40 hours. So I believe I soloed, I think I had about 8 hours, and I soloed. And after you solo, then what you do is you fly the airplane by yourself or with the instructor until you build up 40 hours. And then you have to take a written and then also a flight test. And people think it's difficult, but it's really not. 40 hours and you can be a student pilot. Or a private pilot, I'm sorry.
Tell me about flying around here, because I went up, I think before we started this interview, I was telling you that I had the opportunity to go up in my father-in-law's plane. And it's so interesting, if people have never been up in a smaller plane, to go, especially when you look at your community. We were just kind of limited to the Sandusky area, but can you share some stories about things you've seen, or I'm sure over the years you've flown too, to watch the changes too to this whole area? Anything that stands out or strikes you about your times flying around this area?
You see a lot of change in developing and all, but the lake region is a beautiful place to fly, and it makes it easier to learn in too. You always find the lake, and you can find your way home. Mm-hmm. But the area is, with the islands, is a beautiful place to fly the Cub around, and also the Stearman, which I own. A lot of my trips are over to the islands for a weekend, or just a pleasure trip around the islands also.
Do you, what's the farthest you've ever flown out of here to? Where have you gone?
The farthest I fly is Florida, and that was in my father's plane. This airplane, the Cub, only does 65 mile an hour. I've flown a Cub back from Connecticut. It took me 3 days to get it home. And then I've flown it to Florida and back, but that was only one time. It's a two-day trip each way.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you have any interesting stories in terms of close calls or anything, weather, or how does that when you go up, do you, I mean, I'm sure there's certain things you look for, but I really don't know in terms of weather, depending on the plane you take up.
Well, the closest trip or the closest I ever came to put in the lake is coming back from Kelly's Island when a storm blew up. In this area, storms blow up real quick, and on a hazy day, you can't see them coming. And I was flying back, and fortunately, I come across, and the storm came up, and I picked out Cedar Point. And from Cedar Point to the Sandusky Airport, it was a downpour, and the visibility was down to zero. I flew probably 150 feet above the chaussee and followed it right over to the airport, and that was a close one. I mean, it was tough finding the airport.
Are you do you have your sights set on any other types of planes or something that you would like to get or fly that you could think of?
Well, I think about buying a Husky, which is basically a bigger Cub with a lot more horsepower, but this airplane has a lot of history in it, and it's all original, and it only burns 3.5 gallons an hour, and my biggest joy is to just take people up that have never gone up before, and you can leave the door open and the window, and it's a great sightseeing airplane.
Mm-hmm. I want to know a little bit about, you said you grew up here, and did you graduate from Medicine High School?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because one of the participants that was in the original photographs, and he's now deceased, Don Day, can you tell me a little bit about Don Day? Because I know, unfortunately, we won't have a chance to hear what Don Day has to say. Things that you recall about Don Day?
Yeah, Don Day took a liking to this area when he moved here. He was a teacher, and he also many times was my father. He knew when getting in a little bit of trouble, you know, Don would take you under his wing and have words with you. And also he'd always take us camping down to Mohican. When we got interested in motorcycles, Don went and bought a Kawasaki, and he rode with five or six of my friends. And he did that for, probably about 10 years. Don was a great friend, and we miss him.
Tell me about his, he was the rifle team coach, and, you know, now we know that people don't, I don't know of anywhere really that rifle teams exist in high schools anymore, but I think it would be interesting for people to know a little bit about the rifle team of Edison High School, because it did have such a interesting reputation and a part of a lot of the lives of young men and women.
Yeah, Don, I believe he may have formed the rifle club. I mean, as long as I've known him, he ran the rifle club, and he had a great following. He always had kids in the rifle club, and he took this kids to state, and he did a great job with the rifle club. He dedicated a lot of his weekends and his nights traveling with the guys, and he was a great, I guess we call him a coach or so, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Where did the rifle team practice?
They practiced in the old high school, and it was in the old shop class. It was on the main floor, And they would set up targets, and that's where they practice evenings and weekends. I know he'd take them to other locations, and I'm not sure where that was at. But I think he went down to the Fox shooting range on just east of town here.
Did other schools, can you recall or do you know how many other schools at the time had rifle clubs? Or is that some, because I imagine it wasn't common in every school, but certainly there had to have been some. Is that how they usually competed with other schools, or is that how the competition
went? They did, but I can't recall that there was, in this area, that we had any other rifle clubs. You know, we were the one and only in this area, I believe. I really don't know of any other ones.
Okay, so you had to, then they did truly probably have to go all over Ohio to find them.
Yeah, you traveled quite a bit with them.
What can you tell me about this area growing up, besides the rifle team? What were you into? Were you into sports or having lived here in this area?
Yeah, I grew up playing football and basketball and enjoyed playing sports. As I got older, I just played football, and then I started working for my father nights and weekends. And the one sport that I really enjoyed was football, though. We had a good group of people, and it was a lot of fun.
Tell me about what it is that you do, because you said you've always worked for your father, and then and tell me about a little bit about the business. Because I'm here on the original set of photographs, it's your title is construction worker, but I know that, you know, that's 20 years ago. You said, is that how you started out, just working construction?
Yeah, my father actually started working at Clevite Harris, built the first building there. His dad worked at the Milan Brewery, which is right on Lockwood, I believe it is. And that's how he met my mom. She worked as a secretary at Clevite Harris. And he worked there for, I think, about 8 years, and then he worked in Sandusky for a Sandusky fabricating a machine. With that kind of experience, he and a partner went together, and they formed a Union Fabricating and Machine. And that's when I started working nights and weekends for him. And then he formed AV Lake Construction. So he had two companies, and over the years, I showed more interest in the outside work. So I showed more interest in the construction part of it, and I stayed in it, and my father's retired, and I run AV Lake now.
Give me a little bit, what kinds of buildings and what have you done here that are notable that people would, that AV Lake has built in? A little bit about the business, because, you know, we have some names like AV Lake Construction that have been around here for a while. Can you give a little more perspective on that?
Yeah, the buildings that we built were Butler franchise buildings. And before we took on the Butler franchise, we had Inland Ryerson. And one of the first buildings we built in this area that is right here in Milan is the Milan Township Garage. And then the other building in the area would be a couple buildings, would be the new, the engineering building for Gould. And we built Door Chevrolet. We moved Door Chevrolet from where they were in town here to out on 250. And then also built the Chevy dealer in Norwalk. And bouncing a little bit out of this area, the most recent one that I built that would be recognized would be Roeder Harley-Davidson in Sandusky. Okay. But we do a lot of car dealerships, and we did a lot of industrial buildings for U.S. Gypsum, for New Departure, for Ford, and for American Standard also.
I know that this area has suffered, of course, you know, like the rest of the country, you know, an economic downturn, has business remained steady for you, or do you see things starting to pick up? Because you hear on the news, you know, that the recession is over, and of course, you know, it's debatable, and I know that, I think the headlines today also stated something to the fact that, you know, things will be sluggish into 2011. Do you see that, or what kind of indicators would you probably see in your business that things are picking up?
Well, it's not picking up real quick. We're slow. We've scaled down to less than half what we used to be. We lost a lot of companies that have gone overseas in Mexico, and we've just in the last 6 months we've just gone back to basics. You know, we're hitting small jobs, and I tell everyone we're in a survival mode. Mm-hmm. I don't see the economy coming back for quite a while. I don't know. I can't mm-hmm. say when, but it's definitely slow. This is a different economy now with losing a lot of the higher dollar jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems certainly, you know, there's a lot of mixed messages out there, and I think it remains to be seen yet. Dan, are there anything you'd like to add about flying, or we have. It's an interesting picture, and certainly you've done a lot, you know, living in this area the whole time, you've known a lot of people. Are there some things you can add or think about that you'd like to say about this area?
Well, I'd like to say that I grew up next to Larry Lambert, and Larry, when I built my house on Lace Road, Larry lived with me for about a year, and Larry was always taking pictures, and he's gone to wars, he's been he had a pass to the White House, and he had a love for the art of picture taking, and he was always wanting to take pictures of us, and he enjoyed it.
Good. Well, I appreciate you doing this interview, and I think that it's interesting for people to listen to, the voices of the people behind these portraits, and you know, we look forward to continuing this project. So thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.